Acts 27, right? Last week I said that I wanted to finish it, and I was not aware of how many more messages I have from this passage. But when you start digging deeper into things, you just start digging in one spot, and then it's like, oh, I didn't realize I was in this spot just that long. So I don't know when I would finish this. So if you guys ever get annoyed with my voice and you want to take a break, that's too bad. So nevertheless, let's ask the Lord for some help. Heavenly Father, we pause for a moment in your presence. We don't want to gather unto ourselves or just come to a service or just come to church, Lord. We want to come to you. Lord, we want your word to be open to us. We want your spirit to move in our hearts. So thankful for the work that you've begun in us, and so thankful that you want to finish it. So I pray diligently, Lord, now that as we stay here for a moment and we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would open our ears and you open our eyes to see and hear the things that you want us to see and hear. So we humble ourselves under your mighty hand, knowing that you give more grace to the humble, but the prideful you see afar off and you resist. So we humble ourselves now. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Acts 27. And last week we left off with Paul's warning to those on the ship, right? That disregarded his warning, right? They, the professional opinion, the majority, and the desire to be comfortable all played a part in setting the ship off course and putting the 276 souls on board in danger as they were caught in that huge storm called Euryclyde. Last week, I also said that in our Christian experience, there are storms in our life. Can't avoid it. There are many storms. There are many storms that are avoidable. And then there are storms that are unavoidable. This storm in Acts 27 could have been avoided simply by listening to Paul's exhortations and warnings. They didn't have to bring danger and hurt into their lives. They supposed that they were right, and then they were unreasonable, and they had to deal with the consequences of their choices. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after healing the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, said to him, "Behold, thou art made whole." That's great. Doesn't that make you joyful? Then he says something very convicting. "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you." Oh, why'd you have to say that? I just like it that you made me whole. No, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto you. The Lord Jesus was warning him very clearly. If you continue in sin, there's going to be trouble in your life, and your life is going to get worse. It's not a stretch at all to say that Christ still continues to warn those who he has saved and made whole, and the warning is simple, very simple, that there are consequences to our disobedience and disregard to the word of God. There are consequences to sin, period. There, as we sail across the sea of time, we can bring hurt and damage to our lives and loss to our lives because of sin. But listen, it's just as sinful if we are in the majority of believers that we read last week who simply want to be comfortable and deviate slightly from the truth. It's just as sinful. We can bring much loss to our own soul. And we can not only bring loss to our own soul, but we can directly influence the direction of others as well. And set them off course. That's what the majority did. When they just wanted to be comfortable, the majority ruled. And everybody else had to follow along. Christians throughout the ages have had to go through many unnecessary storms in their lives. Many unnecessary storms. Then the storms in the Christian's life that are unavoidable, right? Situations and circumstances that come into our life not by any choices of our own. That you have to, not any choices of your own, but choices that others have made that directly affect you, right? Maybe somebody close to you personally, a family member or a friend, or somebody you're not close to. You're not close to them at all. Government officials, right, for example. They make choices, and it directly affects your life. The choices that others can make, they can bring a storm into your life suddenly and take you. And you didn't see it coming, and you couldn't avoid it. You just couldn't avoid it. Or perhaps there's a serious health condition or situation, whether it's physical, mental, or spiritual. Circumstances that are totally out of your control. That's a storm. There are all sorts of storms that the Christians go through in life. And in the normal course of life, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, and I'm not stealing my brother's thunder, because we're planning on going through some precious truths in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But Jesus said, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. The rains come, the storms come. Many are avoidable, some are unavoidable. Whether it's an avoidable storm or an unavoidable storm, there are some really precious truths in this passage of Scripture. That if you dig a little deeper, you'll see how their experience in the ship and our experience in the storms of life can be so relatable, so precious in this passage. So let's read from 13, verses 13 to 20. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclida. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. A lot of tribulation going on in these few verses. We see how quickly circumstances can change, don't we? One moment, a nice soft breeze, then suddenly, wind so strong that they lost control of the vessel. You know, life can be like that, can't it? One moment, you're sailing along smoothly, supposing that you have your purpose, and you're just, this is free sailing. And then, bam, a wind just comes and knocks you right into the, and just lose the vessel, lose control. Has that ever happened in your life? Just suddenly knock you off course. One moment, you're starting to have a good Monday morning. Then you realize it's Monday and then something happens. It takes you totally off course. The winds and the waves, we read here, battered them, damaged the ship. But in the midst of the storm, what we see here is they had a brief opportunity to find shelter from the storm under this island called Clauda. The island was taking the brunt of the storm. And they were able to do some much-needed repairs and strengthening of the ship. So they hoisted up the lifeboat, and they began to undergird the ship by using helps, it says. So they used ropes and cables to wrap around the ship to keep the vessel from coming apart and keep it tight and strong. It seems like their efforts, as we read, were cut short. Doesn't it look like it? because fear began to play a part of making decisions on the ship. It looks like efforts were cut short. Now let's dig deeper. Let me ask you, can you relate to this experience? I've never really been on a sailboat. Can you relate to the experience spiritually? During the storms of life that we can go through, they can take its toll on us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, right? There's often opportunity in the chaos of the storm to be strengthened. A place of shelter to undergird the ship, to reinforce it so it wouldn't come apart. There's a place to undergird the ship so it doesn't fall apart. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up the loins of your minds. Hope to the end. You know, when tribulation comes into our life, one of the first things it affects is our minds and our emotions. We start asking questions. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one. Why did this happen? What should I do next? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to get through this? Not only are you bombarded by the situation and the circumstances at hand, but suddenly your mind is overwhelmed with a multitude of questions. And then once uncertainty sets in, then you become emotionally affected, right? You become emotionally affected. Can you just imagine with me on the boat that those souls on the ship also allowed their minds to be overwhelmed with questions like these? What should we do? Why did this happen? How are we going to get through this? Tell us what's next. What do we got to do next? And once there is an atmosphere of uncertainty, well, then the emotions come into play, doesn't it? A particular emotion took charge in making critical decisions on this ship. When you make decisions based on your emotions, you make mistakes. I think it's very clear. If you make critical decisions based on your emotions, you will make mistakes. It says, "Fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven." Now, I can't tell you specifically if they finished undergirding the ship with helps to reinforce it so that it wouldn't come apart. Maybe they did. It just seems like it was cut short because of emotion. But what I can tell you is that they were coming apart mentally and emotionally on the ship. That's what's going on in the ship. I believe that their brief opportunity to be strengthened was cut short because fear drove them. Fear caused them to strike sail. Fear caused them to make that decision. Dig deeper here with me. Just dig a little deeper. Parallel this experience with your own. And ask yourself, am I availing myself of the opportunities to be strengthened as I travel from earth to eternity? During the tribulations of our life, am I girding up the loins of my mind and undergirding the vessel with helps so I don't come apart mentally and emotionally and lead by my emotions? Oh, brothers and sisters, as you dig deeper in this little passage, this is a precious truth. It's a precious truth. I'm reminded of what Alan Redpath said. The truths in God's word are not lightly and easily picked up. You have to dig deeper. There are precious things in the depths of the word of God. And this is precious. And you got to dig deeper. I found that it's been the word of God and the opportunities to hear his word that has undergirded my vessel. This is the helps that's girded up my mind so I don't come apart mentally and emotionally when circumstances arise that I can't control. undergirding the ship, the vessel. So I don't make wrong decisions when my emotions flare up. Oh, this is a precious truth. No doubt it is. But let me ask you, last week I brought in two words from our, you know, our now new vocabulary, right? Essential or non-essential? Is it essential or is it non-essential? For you to avail yourself of the opportunities of hearing God's word, is it essential or is it non-essential? To undergird the vessel with helps, the eternal ropes of God's word, just wrapping around you so your mind does not come apart in the midst of the world, in the tribulations that you endure, that I don't even know what some of you are enduring. Is it essential or non-essential? The answer should be obvious. I mean, right? It's obvious. But I can't answer it for you. I can't. I can answer it for me. It's absolutely essential. It's absolutely essential for me to avail myself of the opportunity to find shelter and be here at Grace Gospel Chapel, to Family Bible Hour, to hear the Word of God preached, to undergird the vessel of my soul. It's essential to be strengthened by hearing the Word of God preached. Is it essential for you to be here at Family Bible Hour every week? Is it essential? It's essential for me throughout the week to find time, to find shelter, to open the Word of God, to undergird my mind amidst all the tribulation and the frustration and perhaps the fear that we're enduring. It's essential. And if it's essential to you, you're in the Word every day. You know, brethren used to be known for the fact that they held to the Word all the time. It's essential for brothers and sisters, for believers, to undergird their mind so they're not led by their emotions. It's essential to find shelter and not be led by your emotions and fear and go somewhere else. Essential. Fear drove them, fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strike sail, and so we're driven. Our emotions can drive us to make decisions that are wrong. Period. That's it. There are other emotions that can drive us along our journey as well. Not just fear, but a multitude of it. You name it, it can drive you. Anger, frustration, bitterness, sadness, loneliness, all those can drive you. Even the good emotions can drive us. Did you know that? Even good emotions can drive us to make wrong decisions. Oh, yes, they can. When we're led by our emotions, we make mistakes. It's essential to undergird the vessel, to gird up your mind with the Word of God. Because all too often, haven't we experienced and observed others experience the consequences of being driven by our emotions? Haven't you experienced some own tribulation in your own life because you led by your own emotions? Or have you seen somebody in your own life, observed it? No, don't say it. No. After all, the whole reason that they're in this predicament is because they made decisions to move forward when they were warned to what? Be still. They made decisions based on their emotions. Let's read again 18 to 20. And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Here we see them endure the consequences of making decisions based on their emotions. Could they have stayed in shelter under cloud?
They could have. Was there a possibility they would have got stuck in the quicksand? Maybe. Could they have avoided some of that storm? Possible. A decision, they made this decision, first of all, set sail, right? To be more comfortable physically and emotionally in the very beginning, didn't we? Mistake. Now a decision to strike sail because of fear. Mistake. We being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Could you imagine with me? You know, I get sick at amusement parks. Just the smell of the grease and the noise and just the chaos of an amusement, I just get sick, you know? And then if I get on a ride, I get really sick. I'm not good with motion and movement. But can you just imagine with me the kind of seasickness and motion sickness these 276 souls were enduring? I imagine it must have been hard just to stand up. Forget about trying to walk on the ship, right? They're not walking right. They were stumbling and staggering around. No doubt being tossed to and fro, extremely stable, unstable, to the point of seasickness. Later on in the chapter, you'll be able to see a little bit more of that. But in James chapter 1, let me just read you a passage. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. As I've said before, some of these truths you really don't have to dig too deep to see them. The consequences of making decisions based on our emotions and feelings instead of the Word of God and faith can cause Christians to become spiritually sick as they travel the sea of time. Again, unable to stand, unable to walk, because you're so unstable. So unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I kind of feel like a Christian that's double-minded allows his feelings to get in the way of his faith. Unstable and unable to walk properly. An unstable man is also one that says one thing one day and says a totally opposite thing the next day. Someone that is drawn all the way over here believing that, and then drawn way all the way over here, believing that. Wishy-washy. Unstable. Tossed to and fro. It says, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. I like this portion. I really like this portion. I really like Acts 27. Because I can relate so much to what's going on in the ship. I feel like I was on the ship and experienced it and make these mistakes. I feel like they went into survival mode. That's what they did. They went into survival mode. They had to make decisions along the way to dump overboard the cargo to lighten the ship because it was taking on water. Survival mode. Then they had to make some more decisions about throwing overboard the tackling of the ship. This is the damage and the loss that Paul warned them about. They were going to make profits on the cargo, right? Not now. The tackling of the ship was important to have on the ship, or else it wouldn't be on the ship, right?
But being caught in the storm and the fear that drove them into survival mode. Let me ask you, do you think that they were going through the tackling of the ship and deciding, well, this is essential, this is not essential. This is essential, this is not. Do you think they really maybe got a list and say, okay, Captain, no, they weren't doing that. Being so unstable and in survival mode, do you think they made some clear choices? Do you think they made clear choices? No, they didn't. They threw out with their own hands essential things. With their own hands, they threw out essential things because of the storms in their life. Turn, if you would, to 2 John. We'll just read one verse. 2 John. Verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have gained, but that we receive a full reward. Brothers and sisters, in the storms of life, we have to be careful not to lose those things which we've gained along the way. There are essential truths that have been committed unto us by our Savior. Essential truths. And we must keep them because they bring much profit to our souls. You can't throw those out just because you're in survival mode and because fear is driving you. You can't. They're essential. You know, I know Christians, as I'm sure you do, who have weathered storms in their life. They've weathered them. But through it, they lost the things that they've gained. They're not the same Christians they once were. The truths that they were once essential to them are now non-essential for them. Non-essential. That's sad. It's not where the Lord's leading you. It's sad. It's sad to throw out the tackling of the ship with your own hands just because of your emotions and because you're in survival mode. There are things that once were precious and profitable to him. Survival mode is a dangerous place to be in for a Christian. Dangerous place. One last verse for the day. I know that I could probably go on for a lot longer, but I really enjoyed what Ray Gonzalez said, that he could speak and speak and speak, but we're not here. We're not here. We're not here. Sometimes the short and sharp messages are the best. One last verse. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. When they disregarded Paul's warning and wanted to deviate from the port of Fair Havens because it wasn't comfortable, I definitely don't think that they expected to find themselves in a very depressing situation. Do you think? Not at all. Right now, on the ship, Fair Havens must look like a 5-star resort. Well, that wasn't too bad at all. I wish I was back there. I wish I didn't make this choice. Fair Havens. Oh, that wasn't commodious. All they wanted to do was travel a little further up the coast to a more comfortable spot, maybe 50 miles. That's all they wanted to do. They led by the fact they just wanted to be comfortable. And then they were directed by their emotions. And now look at them. Really look at them. Hopelessly depressed. It says here, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. I understand that when they would sail, they would use the sun and the stars to chart a course to give them direction. Right? But obviously, because of the storm they found themselves in, it hindered their vision and they lost their direction. It's amazing to me that disregard and slight deviation from Paul's exhortations can bring so much damage, loss, and depression, and loss of vision and direction into their lives. That's amazing to me. All because they wanted to be comfortable. All because they listened to the majority. All because popular opinion said so. And then they threw out the essential things with their own hands. Parallel this passage and put yourself into it. Let the word cut deep into your heart as we dug deep into it. Let it cut deep. This storm was avoidable, and they didn't have to go through it. They didn't. Brothers and sisters, there are so many avoidable storms that we don't have to go through. There are so many. And I bet you many of you avoided a lot of storms in your life. But I bet you you've come into a lot of storms that you could have avoided as well. They could have avoided it if they would have just been obedient. Yet these truths are so essential through any tribulations or storms that we can go through. We can learn from their example, can't we? We can learn from the example of what's going on in Acts 27. Whether it's an avoidable storm or an unavoidable storm, I trust these precious truths will gird up your minds and your hearts so that you're not being led by emotions in the tribulations of this life. We are going through uncertain times. That's another phrase I could probably do without. And we're all in this together. I guess. Not really. I'm looking forward to traveling to glory. In a nation where every nation in time is going to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a place reserved for each one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for a new country, aren't we? We're looking for a new country. One that's not filled with hate and sin. We're looking for the country where Christ is the center of it all. Let me share one thing with you. I don't normally do this. I don't like doing it, but nevertheless, growing up, I was never a good student in high school, and I've said that many times, and there's only two classes that I ever liked, and it was art class and creative writing. I actually like creative writing a lot. I actually put effort into creative writing. I have no idea why. As you can see, some of my grammar is just, you know, I'm getting new words this year for a new vocabulary, right? Essential, non-essential. Hey, I'm learning. But nevertheless, creative writing was something that I really grabbed onto. And I like to write poems at times. But I don't like sharing them. But I'm going to share one today. I wrote this one about 6 years ago. Amid the uncertainty of the shifting sea of time, my soul is anchored and abiding in the true vine. Whatever storms that range around me, my soul has hope amidst the chaos of the sea. As the waves rise and fall and dark clouds hide the sun, my anchor holds steadfast and sure, rooted in the divine one. So come storms of chaos, rage, and uncertainty, my soul has hope in the one who hung on the tree. Jesus endured it all. Our sin was upon him. His soul for mine as nails anchored in each limb. Darkness hid the sun. While the raging storm of sin was calmed, bruised by each furious wave and wounded in his palms, he stretched forth his hands and spoke peace And the rage and the chaos of the sea and uncertainty ceased. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're thankful that you can change our hearts by your word. And you can speak to us in a mighty way. Lord, these truths we would ask would take deep root and we would find them to be essential. And we wouldn't let them go. That Lord, in the midst of this chaos, we would find much peace in undergirding the vessel with your word. So we thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord, that you're coming back. And one day, Lord, we'll see you face to face. Until then, Lord, strengthen us with all might, according to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.